Moir, Chair of the Regional Council, will give us a bit of an update on Centreport and the rail and bus services. I've also got Jenny Rowan, Mayor Jenny Rowan, and Fran and Nick Leggett and I came back from Hamilton Local Government Conference, some by road, some by plane, to be back with our communities. We've also got Bruce Peverell, who's a regional controller and runs the Regional Emergency Management Office, and Stavros Michael, who's here and his responsibility as local city controller. We've also just had a briefing from the full range of services, of lifelines, of fire, and of the welfare staff and council. There's been quite a series of quakes, and people are feeling somewhat nervous. I hope everything was all right in your homes and offices, but we are making sure that people know what information they need to have. We've had messages from Mayor Bob Parker, very encouraging for us to get back to our local place and support the local people. And of course, we've learned lessons from Christchurch and how the response should be managed. At the moment, the damage and the issues from the quake are largely focused in the Wellington CBD. I've had confirmation from Mayor Ray Wallace that things are fine out in the Hutt Valley at the moment. At the moment, building owners and engineers, and we've got a number of structural engineers from council, and we've got further ones on call if need be, going around making visual inspections of the buildings in the CBD. There are a number of streets that have got partial closures at the moment, including Balance Street, Bolton Street, and Featherston Street are at least partially closed. There's debris on the ground, and there is a concern that some glass or other building material could fall off those buildings. So we're asking people not to go through those cordons. Earlier today, we suggested that people didn't come into work in the CBD this morning. We're now suggesting that it's going to take the day for the buildings and the streets and so on to be fully assessed. So we're suggesting that if people can work from home, they stay home. Obviously, contact your employer to make arrangements for the rest of the week as well. Victoria University and Massey University are closed for their staff and their students. They've got a number of buildings to inspect. And people are heeding our advice. The motorways have been, and the roads in from the suburbs have been pretty quiet today. That's advice both from the police and from the traffic monitoring. Yesterday's earthquake resulted in very few injuries. We've had reports of 4 minor casualties, and we're very grateful that that's how we've come out of quite a significant earthquake. But it's a really strong reminder both for households to have their emergency plans, so children and parents and other family members know what to do. It's a real reminder to talk to your vulnerable neighbours. It's a real reminder to have water and food and all the equipment that you need for daily life. Please encourage people to fix hot water cylinders, bookcases, all of that heavy materials to the wall, as we all know we should, and I hope everybody has. So there's been a couple of buildings that were people were transferred out of. Those have now been checked. Just after midnight, they were cleared for people to return to. And later on today, we're going to make a call as to whether council staff will be returning to the buildings in the Civic Campus. That's the Michael Fowler Centre, Central Library, and the administrative buildings. We do have a skeleton staff in our service centre so that they can deal with any consent issues and so forth. So we are open for business if it's really urgent, but we're encouraging people to stay out of the CBD. There was damage to the portico, the great big black bridge between two of the buildings, which we had already made the decision that that was going to be demolished anyway. It's superficial damage, but it has damaged some of the water systems, so until we have full sprinkler coverage, we can't encourage the public or staff to go back into the buildings. So keep up to date through TV, through radio, the Wellington Regional Emergency Management Office Facebook site, which has gone from, I think, 4,500 friends on Facebook. After the storm, it was about 11,500. And after yesterday's quake, we've just got up to 26,000 followers. So it's just showing how well they're using social media to connect. But we are also still open to the phone, 499 4444, to find out more or to report issues. So I'd now like to pass over to Chair Fran Wilde to talk about Centreport and rail and bus services.
Thank you, dear. Well, you know that the port is on reclaimed land, which is which is slightly more vulnerable in a quake, and they have had a partial collapse into the sea on the south end of the port. It's not major, but some of the road has gone into the sea. One container is in the sea, but the harbour master has contained it, and it's safe and secure, not fished out yet, though. There were apparently also cracks in the roadway in two locations, Glasgow Wharf and on the Southern Road, and the buildings on the wharf appear to have, as many buildings in the city, suffered water damage from sprinklers. So the port are looking at all of this now to see what they have to do to make sure the port can become operational as soon as possible, and I understand it may not be long. The rail is not operating because KiwiRail have to inspect the tracks. So they're hoping to give us an update by mid-morning, and in the meantime they have put buses on to replace all the rail services in the region. The other thing, wearing my Lifeline Utilities hat, is that we understand there's not major damage to the other lifelines around the region, but again, if people do observe that there's a water leak that shouldn't be there coming out of the road, they should report it. So we need to know if there's any damage that so far is hidden but may appear over the next several hours or so. In terms of the Regional Council building, we don't have staff in there today. We have extensive flooding apparently. We have engineers looking at it now to check possible stairwell damage. And we will not be putting staff back into the building until we know that it is safe. So we're not sure when that will be, but hopefully sooner rather than later. We were about to vacate the building shortly anyway, in the next few months, and so we have got our new rented accommodation on the way, just hoping we can bridge the gap.
Fran, you said buses are now operating. Earlier they weren't.
Fran, they're not.
They're still not operating.
No, the replacement buses for rail.
Yes. The replacement for rail buses.
Yep.
No. They're still not operating.
No.
No buses from Lawrence. Which is one of the reasons why the people were advised by the emergency management center this morning not to come to work today.
Any other question?
Quick question. It sounds like the City Council buildings out of operation and the Regional Council building as well. It's not a very good look for two local authorities that were most needed can't actually operate in their offices.
Well, we're operating out of the Regional Emergency Management Office, which is a council-owned building, and that's been built to hugely above the ordinary building code. The civic buildings have got some water damage and they're being checked. There's no evidence of any structural deficit apart from the portico, which was already scheduled for demolition. So I'm assuming that we're going to be back in there soon.
Are you happy with the way the buildings performed in the earthquake?
The buildings, as I say, there's been staff going around having a look at the interior of the library, of the town hall and of the admin buildings. And there are a few books on the floor, but there's no significant damage. But until those sprinkler systems are working, it's not safe to let people in. And I don't think that'll be long before that's fixed.
The Regional Council isn't operating, but we do have our senior management working out of one of the buildings at the port, which is base isolated. And so that's working, but there are no staff in there. We were aware that our building is has an issue, and that's why we're moving out of it.
So
we're not building a new one or buying another one. We're moving into temporary rented accommodation, actually on the port. And we have, as I said, we already have that in action. You're absolutely right. It shows the need for the high priority organisations to make sure that their own headquarters are secure, and that's what we're doing.
Fran, if I could add, we have a major office in Masterton as well, which is operational, so we're gearing up to ensure that services will remain. So we have to back up with that office.
GNS has advised that there's a 30% chance of an aftershock of around 6 in the next, I don't know, a few weeks, I think, in the next couple of weeks. Is that the advice that you've got, and how long will it take for all the Wellington, all of the CBD buildings to be inspected?
GNS has advised that 30% chance of a level 6 earthquake in the next week. That will diminish as time goes by without any further aftershocks. But in Wellington, you could always have a big earthquake tomorrow. It's incumbent on all of us to be prepared, whether it's building owners, whether it's council organisations, or whether it's businesses.
Obviously in Christchurch there was a significant earthquake which then subsequently weakened buildings, some of which subsequently collapsed. Have you made any decisions about how the city is going and how you're going to address that issue in Wellington?
Well, we've already done far more than 3/4 of the initial earthquake assessments of pre-1976 buildings. We've assessed all our own council buildings, and as you're probably aware, we've strengthened many of them, including much of our social housing, and there is a whole programme. We've just committed $43 million that's going to be strengthening the town hall, for example. So we're working through it. It's not only the buildings, it's also the infrastructure. This year we finished strengthening the Karori Tunnel,
question relates to post this earthquake inspection. So obviously how it's going to take a reasonable length of time to re-inspect some of those buildings. And can you advise on what the programme is, who's doing the inspections, when they will take place?
I certainly can. Neville might want to add something to this, but we've already had visual inspections. We've had structural engineers checking whether there's been movement of the stairwells, which is a point of vulnerability in buildings. Neville, would you like to add?
However, the ultimate responsibility for any ongoing inspections of buildings belongs to the building owner.
So I was thinking the possibility of a 30% possibility of another earthquake, another 6 earthquake. People that are in these buildings that have already been identified as not being safe, should they be there?
Well, there are buildings that, it depends on the use of the building. Public schools and hospitals have to be a higher level code. If you have got a small shop that's yellow stickered, then the yellow stickers on the front door, everyone's aware of the status. It's less than 33% of the building code.
So what would your advice be?
My advice would be that the actual risk hasn't changed from the previous week, that people should make sure that they are prepared, that they know the drill, drop, cover, hold, and that you get a structural engineer to assess your building, particularly if it's below 33% already.
Obviously there's a problem though. If you've got a city with thousands of buildings in it and there's only so many structural engineers, and it takes a while to look thoroughly through a building to see whether it's got any damage to it, presumably. We're looking at a 30% chance in the next week. Perhaps people shouldn't be leaving these buildings until the end of the week or something.
Well, a visual inspection is part of showing whether things have actually moved. You don't actually have to drill down into the foundations to see whether there has been movement. Perhaps we could have Richard Toner, who's one of our building inspectors, come and say a couple of words about how we can be sure that the level of certainty for the inspection.
Okay. Currently we've got teams of engineers and building officers doing a visual inspection of the city, and we will know some more detailed information at around 12 o'clock. What we do know from what we've assessed at the moment is that most of the damage appears to be more superficial rather than structural. But we will have a better idea by 12 o'clock today.
When you say visual inspections, does that mean looking at the building from the outside?
Basically, yes, and if it looks like it's compromised, then we will be talking with the building owners. And the key message for the building owners is that they need to get their engineers to do a more detailed engineering assessment of the building.
Council's buildings are being assessed internally by council building inspectors. So it's got to be the responsibility of the building owners to make sure that their buildings are safe to occupy.
Do we know anything about the availability of engineers to conduct those inspections?
Well, we've got a number on call. We've got 10 going out to do the visual inspections to make sure that pedestrians and drivers and buses and so on are safe. So that's one of the reasons we're encouraging people not to come into the CBD if they can avoid it.
Would you be happy working in a yellow sticker building?
I do work in a yellow sticker building, and there's been a visual check already. When staff advised me that it's as safe as it was last week, I shall certainly be going back. But that's why we're planning bit by bit to strengthen all our buildings above 33%.
So when you're advised, you will go back? A lot of people don't have that. I mean, this is going to take time for buildings to be inspected. And there's a lot of people living in buildings which are substantially lower code than the building that you're about to go back to work in.
This earthquake is also not as high energy by any means as the Christchurch earthquake. It is 6.5 on the Richter scale, but it was quite deep and less energy than the Christchurch one. Yes, we have to be careful, but it's not a matter of closing the city.
So we're not panicking.
Business needs to continue.
Well, and if I may say so, I chair the Regional Civil Defence Emergency Committee, overseeing the region's needs and desires. We've restructured, as most of you know, and right now is an opportunity for us, although the other district councils in the region have all done their respective inspections. We have a huge resource in this region now to come in and assist the city with inspectors and building people very, very quickly if that's required, if the city asks us to do that. And so we'll go into those discussions straight after this meeting to see what's needed.
Thank you, Jenny. And those offers have come in from around the country, as close as Hutt Valley and much further away as well. So we've got a good NZ Inc. resource.
Can you give us some idea of what advice you've been given by GNS about the likelihood of something more serious than an aftershock?
Well, exactly what we've already said. GNS, and it's a matter of probability rather than certainty, that there's a 30% chance of another level 6 earthquake. But let's remember, every day in the city there is always a chance that it could be the big one the next hour, the next week, the next month, or maybe not for 50 years. The buildings in Wellington are built to a stronger code. For example, it's 1.5 times the standard building code, is the strength that buildings in Wellington are built to. Most people are well prepared. We're the most well prepared region in the country in terms of domestic preparedness. Let's make sure that we improve it even further.
So has GNS advised you anything about the cluster of earthquakes in this particular location, which seems somewhat unusual for me as a Wellingtonian? This is a normal.
Yes, they have. They know that it's on a particular fault line. They are not suggesting that it is anything particularly unusual. There's been a cluster of minor shocks before Friday, and some leading up to the 6.51 yesterday. There is no advice that this is hugely out of the normal run of things.
So we had a 5.7, and we had a 5.9 on the morning of 5.8 or something on the morning of Sunday, and then we had a 6.5 that afternoon. So, I mean, as far as we're concerned as Wellingtonians, they seem to be getting bigger. Not, I mean, we've had two events at least from GNS. I mean, this I think, I mean, it would be helpful if there's someone from GNS that could brief us.
Sure. Look, they've sat down and looked into the situation. As has been said before, there's a 30% chance that a shock of the same magnitude will occur in the next week. There's a 20% chance that it would occur within 24 hours of the previous one. They think it's highly unlikely that there'll be a shock larger than that, but forecasting's not an accurate science.
Is it possible to get a briefing from someone from GNS?
Oh, we can make that information available.
Sure. Now, what were your thoughts on how other buildings performed? Obviously,
I think significantly the buildings in Wellington stood up well to an earthquake this level. There has been some superficial damage, and that will be clearer as people inspect throughout the daylight hours. But generally, there's been, when you look at this level of earthquake and four very minor injuries, I think you can say that the city's come through this very well.
How hard, what's the likelihood of things being back to normal tomorrow? Are you going to get all these buildings checked? Because there is a bit of pressure on you guys here. You can't do a quick inspection of the building necessarily.
Our responsibility is for our own civic buildings and for a visual inspection of the CBD streets. It really is incumbent upon building owners to get out, get their buildings inspected. Again, new buildings built to code, there should be no concerns.
Do you think it'll be business as usual tomorrow though? I mean, earlier today it was documented Monday, now it's not coming at all.
I think it will be increasingly business as usual. Again, it's up to employees to check in with their employers and to have a plan of business. Some businesses can be run very well with everybody being at home. Some it's critical that staff come in. It will be somewhat of a case-by-case basis, depending on the building, the business, and the employer.
Safety is paramount. There's no doubt about that. The lessons have been learnt from Christchurch. Bear in mind, this is not a Christchurch situation. But we're very lucky to only have four minor casualties, and we want to keep it that way. So I think people can expect a degree of severe inconvenience for some time yet. People need to just understand that that's for their own benefit, and it's really important that we're able to give people the confidence that they can resume their normal activities when that confidence is due.
And we'll be making those regular updates when areas have been inspected, and we'll be sharing that information through the Wellington City Council website, through the REMO New Zealand Facebook site, and people can always ring our contact centre for information on a particular street if that's what they want to do.
Celia, given that we have to go back for another briefing, do you want to take one more question and then we'll knock this off?
Certainly. Anyone have not had a question that's got a burning question?
Actually, I've got one, please. Because there are going to be a significant number of buildings probably empty or near empty today, are you anticipating any problems in terms of crime level in the city for people, you know, taking advantage of those vacant areas?
Place of move from a response role to a support role with the civil defence from the city and regional councils. Last night we maintained a careful watch over the city, resumed normal policing activities shortly after the cordons were released. We don't anticipate that this will change. We have a watch and brief over the city. We have a number of staff that are available at any time to redeploy into the city, but we don't even anticipate that this will cause a crime wave. We realise that this is an uneven time for the people of Wellington. We thank them for their patience. We just ask for some more patience, as this will take some time. We have some staff on the ground as we speak to assist with the assessment units that are checking the streets for any damage or any likelihood of further closures.
Can I just ask one more question? So, there are a lot of sirens heard in the city last night. Can you tell us a bit about what the emergency services call-outs were?
There are a number of call-outs. Our Wellington Communication Centre received over 1,600 calls. That's approximately 600 more calls than normal. and that was between a two-hour period from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. Last night was reasonably quiet and there were no arrests from last night.
So what were the call-outs in total?
Most of those were in respect of broken glass and buildings, people evacuating. There were a lot of self-evacuated buildings, and we just needed to make sure that everybody was safe.
An earthquake of that magnitude sets off a lot of fire alarms, so there were a lot of fire appliances going around checking buildings out, but nothing much to show for it.
And some sprinkler systems set off, but there were no cases of fire, no problems with gas.
Can you advise when replacement bus services will be operated?
When we're talking bus services, bus replacing train.
Yeah. Train replacements.
We're hopeful that the report in from QRL later today, so we'll be able to update you on that later on the day.
So it may be that there will be trains back.
The tracks clear, they'll put the trains back on.
Yep.
And when will the next briefing be?
We could have a briefing mid-afternoon if people desire that.
Yep.
Yeah,
and we will be putting out regular media releases and updates as we have more information. But I'd like to thank you.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock?
You
have tried
not to clash with the Prime Minister? Would be good.
He's not on
yet.
He's
not
doing a press conference.
He's not?
Yeah, we'll do 3 o'clock here.
Great. And thank you all. And I hope you've all got your kits well prepared.